Lacey, brother and sister, HC. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia, December 22, 1899. Dear brother and sister Lacey, I know a letter is due you from me, but so many things have been crowding upon us that we have scarcely known what to do or what to leave undone. There are so many things that have to be done that it is impossible to enumerate them. I am up nearly every morning at 2 o'clock. Sarah and I have traveled over the road to Maitland so often that we have neglected our letter writing and other necessary things. We have driven 4 times to Maitland and back again with our horse and carriage. This is a journey of 27 miles. This drive is always a rest to me if the weather is not too hot. But I become quite tired riding in the heat. Therefore, we commence our journey at an early hour, 3 o'clock in the morning. The last time we drove from Maitland, we rose at 1 o'clock, entered our gates at Sunnyside at 7 o'clock, and took breakfast with our family. We are thankful to state that we are all keeping well. We have had some exceedingly hot weather, but the last few days have been much cooler, and we enjoy it. We are all endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bonds of peace. How are you progressing? We are desirous of hearing from you. Are you obtaining a precious experience in the work of the Lord? I am anxious to learn what progress you are making in winning souls for Jesus Christ. The Lord is still on the giving hand. Whosoever will may come and partake of the water of life freely. And we must invite, instruct, and draw souls to Jesus. We will have to urge upon them the matter of their salvation. Men and women are in peril, and God will bless every effort we shall make for their recovery from sin. If they refuse the heavenly invitation, the accountability rests upon them. We must wrestle with the Lord in prayer, asking that for Christ's sake He will give us souls. Urge upon the people their peril. We have too little faith. We shall find great comfort in appropriating the promises of God to ourselves. If we encourage the meekness and lowliness of Christ, it is our privilege to appropriate God's promises by faith. There is no true faith that is not personal, no true faith that does not appropriate God's words. We are to believe in Christ as our personal Savior, believe that He died for us personally. What rich and full promises are ours if we will accept them? But let us never lose sight of this fact, that we are to receive to impart. We can only reach the people through God. They are dead in trespasses and sins, and we must carry with us the remedy for the sin-sick soul. You can both be a blessing where you are, but you must increase in faith and in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, the sent of God. There is a great and solemn work to be done for the very ones who claim to believe the truth. There is need that they be converted to real, practical Christianity. They must be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Their words and deportment are not the most pleasing to God. Had they been, an altogether different impression would have been made upon their neighbors and those with whom they associate. Self must be crucified. Christ must become the life, the hope, the strength of the soul. Then, with an abiding Christ in the heart, believers can be living representatives of Christ. Had the believers in Toowoomba exerted the influence they should have exerted, the Lord would have made them channels of light, blessings to those who do not know the truth. It is the duty of believers to manifest the Spirit of Christ in all they do and in all they say. The Bible reveals the duty of the church, and when those who claim to believe the truth practice this truth, a power will go forth from them. It is right actions that are needed to make the correct impression on the world. Every true Christian will reveal the simplicity of true godliness. Do the believers in Toowoomba really believe present truth? Have they that faith which works by love and purifies the soul? Truth in the soul will control the conscience. Oh, let us all realize the solemn responsibilities that rest upon us individually. Let there be a close inspection of the motives that prompt us to action. Believers are to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are to put on His character, represented by the white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Has not Christ left His gospel to the piety of His followers? He has done this. He has presented no other plan, he has provided no other agency. He says, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. It is the human agent who must be a channel of light to others. This is the gospel commission. And entire surrender to God, entire dependence upon Him, to work with Him and for Him, will be recognized by the world. But many keep the truth in the outer court. They give only a superficial consent to it. There are souls whom the Lord loves, who know the truth, but who do not honor the God of truth by daily practicing the truth. When the few believers in Toowoomba shall see the need of practicing the truth in word and in deed, they will be witnesses for the truth, and the truth will make them free. The Lord is soon coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? All those who have been born again have a sacred, holy ministry to perform. If the believers in Toowoomba have not received the new birth, let them open the door of the heart to the Holy Spirit and be converted. Every soul is to be wide awake now. Every soul is to be daily converted anew to God, cleansed from every habit, every practice that is a hindrance to His influence. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. My brethren and sisters in Toowoomba, look, oh look your responsibilities full in the face. See where your delinquencies have been and make improvement. God holds those who know the truth responsible for the souls with whom they associate. You need now to draw nigh unto God. God made the Jewish nation a depository of sacred trust. To this people were committed the oracles of God. But they were not faithful, and the Lord committed to the Gentiles the work which it was their privilege to do, but which they did not do. Upon the disciples of Christ rests a precious, sacred charge. As Christ's followers, they are the depositories of His truth and His grace, which they hold in trust to communicate to others. In the highest sense, we are our brother's keeper, and if our duties are left undone, His blood will be required at our hand. My brother, my sister, those around you may be insensible to the peril of their souls, but because of this, do not neglect your duties. Be instant in season, out of season. We must stand side by side around the throne of God to give account of the use we have made of the blessings bestowed upon us. At that day shall we see souls unsaved that might have been saved if our hearts had been worked by the Holy Spirit. God help you to awaken the believers and unbelievers in Toowoomba to their peril. Will souls prove inaccessible to the Holy Spirit's working? God help you and the other workers, that souls may be saved as the result of your labors. Please write to us. I am anxious to know in reference to your work. With much love to yourselves and all connected with you in the work.